Number 8, Coastal Design and Construction Incorporated, 062740.
Mr. Nykerk?
Yes, sir. Go directly into the slides, Kathy. Coastal Design and Construction is requesting authorization to install two commercial mooring buoys in the southwest branch of the Severn River, approximately 600 feet channel to the Broad Marsh area and 1,200 feet southwest of Severn Wharf Marina in Gloucester County. Project is protested by two nearby property owners. Excuse me, I got ahead of myself there. Coastal Design and Construction is a marine construction company located along the York River in Gloucester. Among other activities, the company builds and installs concrete floating pier and breakwater systems. The company constructs the piers at their facility located along the York River, but typically transports them by truck to the Severn River Marina, where they are removed from the trucks and placed into the water by the marina's 60,000-pound travel lift. This proposal calls for the installation of two moorings to provide temporary in-water storage of the concrete piers and breakwaters as they're waiting transport by tug to various locations throughout the bay and the East Coast. This This is the south. This one's kind of hurting. I think we've got another pointer here. Yeah. This is the southwest branch of the Severn River. This is the Broad Marsh area referred to. The Severn River Marina is located on the other side. These are the mooring locations in yellow here. The proposed moorings are sited in water with a depth of about 4 feet at mean low water, and they're approximately 600 feet channeled of that Broad Marsh area along the southern shoreline of the southwest branch of the Severn. The mooring buoys are approximately 500 feet apart. The southwest branch of Severn River is about 1,500 feet across at that location. The channel's approximately 5 feet, according to the navigation chart. The buoys consist of a 3-ton concrete block anchor, 30 feet of chain, and were originally proposed to have a 60-inch steel mooring ball. Mr. Jim Gunn, the owner of the company, stated that he would be willing to utilize a more typical rubber mooring buoy instead of the steel balls to minimize any hazard. A total of 4 floating concrete structures, each measuring up to 66 feet in length and 13 feet in width, are proposed to be moored at the two balls on occasion throughout the year. This is actually an aerial from Google Earth. Two sites actually entering in the coordinates, and that's how they came out, which is just as they were depicted on the plan view drawing. A little bit closer view of that same image. This is the Severn River Marina. This is the Broad Marsh area. The project is protested by two nearby residents. They believe the moorings present a safety hazard and that they may have adverse environmental impacts. The U.S. Coast Guard states they have no objection to the application. They note, however, that the structures or mooring balls must be illuminated when utilizing the mooring, and that the mooring ball must show ownership and proper color code. No other agency comments were received on the proposal. This image shows the location of the moorings on a navigation chart. It also includes an overlay of the oyster planting ground. The moorings are located on oyster planting ground leased by a Mr. Mitchell Dunstan. He originally opposed the project, but he and the applicant have reached an agreement. This is the Dunstan lease here, two sites highlighted in yellow. This is a picture of a floating breakwater at the Coastal Design facility. Mr. Gunn has stated that a total of 4 of these type structures would be secured to the moorings while awaiting transport by barge. He also stated the moorings are only intended to be used sporadically throughout the year. another view. This is actually an image from our 2002 series that we use quite often. Kathy, you can catch the lights again if you'd like. I added it because it more clearly shows the lighter colored shoal areas within the river. Staff believes the deployment and utilization of the mooring should have only a minimal adverse impact on navigation and other public uses of the waterway, provided they are properly illuminated at night and are used for the stated purpose of the temporary and occasional storage of structures awaiting deployment. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all of the factors contained in Section 28.2.1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project with the inclusion of the following special conditions. The mooring buoy shall be constructed of a rubber material and shall be marked in accordance with the Uniform State Waterway Marking System, which requires the buoys to be white with a blue stripe around the middle. Additionally, the permittee shall affix the numerals for the permit number to the buoys for identification purposes. The permittee shall remove the buoys within 90 days of receiving notification from the commission. The permittee shall notify the commission within 30 days of any changes in the information submitted in the application, including but not limited to the changes in permittee's domicile or the use of the moorings or intent to vacate the buoys. Permittee shall notify the commission annually of his intent to continue to occupy the moorings, and the permittee shall comply with all requirements of the U.S. Coast Guard concerning marking and use of the buoys. Additionally, we recommend a royalty of $500 per buoy be assessed for the private use of state-owned submerged bottom. Be happy to attempt to answer any questions.
Any questions for Chip? Mr. Robbins.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. One question, Chip. Seems to me the biggest issue here would be the potential risk to, as far as safety goes, to small boats. How much boating traffic is there in that area?
There's a fair amount. There's a fair amount of traffic up there. There is a campground upstream of this location. And I think the owner can address this a little bit more, but as I understand it, these are only going to be used three or four times during the year when they get a few barges, they look like barges, but the breakwaters, as they're awaiting transport by tug, and that should just be a matter of days each time. So he can address it, but he might be willing to, you know, put some sort of limit on the amount of time they're actually being used. We did have some concerns with the original proposal for the large 60-inch steel balls being located out there when there weren't any structures moored to them, because, you know, they'd just basically be sitting out there. But he's agreed to go with the more standard rubber-type ball to minimize that hazard.
Okay.
And the Coast Guard's also requiring that they be lit when they are occupied.
Well, as a follow-up, I noted that in your write-up that you said the Coast Guard would require that they're being lighted while in use. But if we were to require that they be lighted whether in use or not, that is while deployed, but while there's not something tied to them, mm-hmm. or moored to them, if we require that they be lighted as long as they're in the water, is there anything in the Coast Guard requirement for how buoys are marked that would contravene that requirement?
Not typically. I don't think there'd be anything against that. Practically, I don't know how to really affix a light to just the smaller rubber-type ball that we had been recommending.
Council has a comment?
I think there may be a concern. For example, if an individual wants to put out their own private aid to navigation, they would need to get permission from the Coast Guard. I would imagine that if the commission wanted to require somebody to put a light on something like this, which would, you know, conceivably could confuse or conflict with other navigational markings, that the Coast Guard approval would also be required.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Chip? I'm sorry.
Do you have something that shows the navigation channel?
Yes. Let me end this and go back to. That's not it. I'm sorry. There. Channel's not marked, but you can see the 5 foot, throw this one away, 5 foot marks over here on this side, a little shallower, in here. He's showing 4 feet at mean low water at the location. Campground is, I believe it's this point.
Right. So there's no marked channel there. That's just a...
I don't have anything with channel markers on them. That is the NOAA chart, so there may be some private aids up in there. I'm not sure.
Mr. Fox?
two questions. How did you calculate the royalty? Did you calculate it just on the mooring buoy themselves or also on the encroachment of that's caused when the barges are in place?
Our royalty schedule specifies per ball. That's what we used, was the $500 for a commercial ball.
So you
it's the individual ball itself.
What's the schedule we have?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the applicant has apparently come to an agreement with Mr. Dunston, who currently leases the oyster grounds.
Mm-hmm.
That is an impairment of those oyster grounds, and those oyster grounds are part of the Commonwealth's resources. I just question whether Mr. Dunston can negotiate away the state's rights to that bottom, which is in effect what's done here.
I think what he's doing, he's got certain rights above and beyond, you know, the typical leaseholder. In fact, one of our permit conditions says that a permit doesn't grant the permittee authorization to encroach on leased oyster ground without the leaseholder's consent. And I understand they reached an agreement to get that consent.
So Mr. Dunston is giving up his rights, but his rights only.
Yes, sir.
And we are being asked to basically give up the public's rights.
Well, yes, that's what we're reviewing.
Okay.
Sir.
Further questions? Thank you, Chip.
Mm-hmm.
Is the applicant here represented? Good morning, sir. State your name, please.
Jim Gunn.
You solemnly swear the testimony that you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir, to God. Thank you, Mr. Gunn. Proceed.
I don't really have anything to offer.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions of Mr. Gunn by the members of the commission? Mr. Tankard.
Would you say it again how long you think those barges will, breakwaters will stay there, more to the buoys?
They're transported on a daily basis. So if we're going to move 4 barges up the bay, we would move all 4 that day. But then weather will get us sometimes, and we can't move. So 3, 4, 5 days, just until the weather breaks.
Right. Okay.
Further questions? Mr. Chick and then Mr. Fox.
As far as the normal pattern of boat traffic, it doesn't appear coming from the campground that there should be much problem there. Are there any... private aids to navigation, or is it
not that I know of? No, the tendency would be to run from the 8 towards the campground,
right? And then coming down towards the bottom of this picture, is there anything up that way?
People live on that gut. So there again, they run down.
It runs straight to the 8 in the deep water there. Right. Okay, that's good.
Mr. Fox,
how often will you have barges? I mean, breakwaters there. You'll put a couple out and then. When you get 4 together, you'll haul them to the location, but how long would it be?
Then we would put 4 more over and do the same thing.
Almost immediately?
In time for the tug that's delivering the other two, so mm-hmm. It may be 2 weeks.
Okay. So every couple of weeks you'd be using
something. But a lot of times we don't use them. I mean, a lot of these floats weigh 120,000 pounds, some of them. And sometimes we move them all the way to Maine on trucks. Mm-hmm. As a rule, the larger ones on the bay we would put in here and take up the bay, but we don't know whether we'll. We might have 20 a year, might be 15, 16.
Mr. Schick?
And the concept, of course, is that you don't want it sitting over the weekend. You're probably going to launch them and get them out of here as quick as possible.
We don't even want to put them there. It's right. Only the weather that right. requires us to put them there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. Anyone in opposition to this project? Yes, ma'am. Would you come forward, please? Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Sylvia Rowe.
Okay. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you will give will be the truth, the
always.
Whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Always.
Thank you, ma'am. Proceed.
I'll try to be brief, and to that effect, I'll go to the end, which leads us to the beginning of my problem. With an aborted fishing trip due to the fact that there were what I termed at that time floating docks anchored in my favorite spot. That cove that he has these breakwaters on is where we fish, net fish, crab potters, have his stringer pots in there. As far as traffic, there's two marinas and a campground on the southwest prong of the Severn River. There's a lot of traffic. Night traffic. People go fishing at night. My neighbors had told me, well, they call us, what's that stuff? Well, I'm a busy woman. Finally, I got to go fishing. We have two boats. I get to go fishing maybe three times a year. We figured it's a vacation spot, you know. We got down there, and we came back home. I called the marina and asked for the owner. He was out of town. The gentleman I talked to said they were called breakwaters, and that Mr. Gunn owned them, and he had a permit. Well, I don't see anything in here about the Corps of Engineers being notified. And I was told by Pamela Paint that at the same time, a proposal for this was supposed to have been received in the Corps of Engineers as well as here. I called Chip. Chip puts me with his secretary, Barbara. She looks for a permit. He's got one. Okay, what is the permit for? The York River. Oh, wrong river. This is the Severn. There's no permit for the Severn. As far as I know, there's no permit at the Corps of Engineers or proposal for one at the Corps. Well, I'm real concerned because these barges, it's like throwing a ruler on top of the water. And, you know, when you're traveling in a boat, you've got to be alert for floating debris. Where the channel is right there, you can see there's not much room. If somebody comes around that cove, if we hadn't known they were there, say maybe nighttime, if we'd been going too fast, we'd have crashed right into them. As it was, I'd been alerted by neighbors. But just about everybody, you've got the campground coming in and out of there, and you know those people don't really know how to handle a boat and a motor. I'm lucky. They just don't. I go along with the Coast Guard in that you should have driving school for boat owners. You really
Virginia's
should.
Adopted that law now, too, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Virginia has also adopted that
yes.
law as well.
But I have a real concern. Also, we own all the, we lease from the state, thank you very much, the oyster ground in front of the marina. We have been trying really hard to get some oysters to grow. I've had to have three sailboats with mushroom anchors removed by the former owner. Well, let's go with Laurier, three on his back. And now, going to put, what was it, some big long thing, concrete at the bottom, like a drag to anchor these things to? On state oyster ground? And we don't have that much to lose. We need all we can get.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions from the commission? Thank you.
Let me check my notes, make sure I didn't forget anything.
Okay.
I'm worried about my car being towed. I parked in a 2-hour zone. So.
When you come down here, ma'am, you better park in a 10-hour zone.
I'm a 9:30 woman. And by the way, Chip, there is no 26A exit I could find. And it's not the first light, second. So I almost
I'll take that up with him during
the night. I will. I'm used to men giving me directions. Oh,
I'm not
y'all
into
don't
that.
Get lost. I'm sorry. Y'all don't get lost. I forgot that. Okay. We have to consider. Now, these breakwaters that were out there, been out there a long time before I got out there. And my neighbor said they're coming and going up and down the road all the time from, now I know, the York River area. I can't really imagine them being overboard in the York River area with Cheetah Manax having two piers and Camp Perry. That's just too big a hazard. But if that's, you know, you have to consider that. I'm still cleaning up from Isabel. And I worry that if one of these things, just one, gets loose, I know where it's coming. I'm right at the head of Willits Creek. It's going to come right in my living room. Who's going to move it? I had 355-gallon drums of oil in my yard. Of course, nobody's going to clean that because they're supposed to have them secured. So I had to have them removed from Isabel. I think that about does it, but I would really, really urge you. I'm here at request of neighbors, landowners. The Hogg family owns the property right off where the breakwaters will be anchored. As you can see, there's not much room to get up in the cove for a crab potter. There's not much room for traffic boat-wise. And you got four of them things out there. He says they're only there 2 weeks or so. That's not what I have seen and heard. And that was without a permit. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You, ma'am. Mr. Gunn, you come forward. I have one question I'd like to ask you. Remember, you're still under oath as well. The inclement weather, hurricane, significant storm, what's your plans?
We'll take them back out of there.
Okay. Any other questions and follow up tonight?
We've also we've addressed the wave load, wind load on them. The anchor is certainly sufficient to handle that.
Okay. Mr. Fox.
What's the size of the breakwaters?
But the largest one we can put over there is 13 by 66. They vary in their 13 draft.
13 by 66?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Some of them are smaller.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They're made in Ark. They're not made at the York River.
Okay.
And they will have lights on them, meeting Coast Guard regulations. And we will pull them out if there's a significant event.
Right. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Tankard.
Mr. Gunn, you know, one of the things that I think is a safety concern is that they can't be seen because they're low aspect. How high are these off the water? Give me a feeling, sir.
18 inches to 2 feet, depending on which one they are. But they will have the lights.
Right.
And we can elevate the light on there to give them a little bit more height. Normally, we just put a shackle on top of the light to hold the light down on the deck.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Matters before the commission.
I'd like to move to approve as staff recommend.
Motion made by Mr. Schick, second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your presentations. Next item on the agenda is Tri-County Farms Incorporated 052246. Mr. Nykirk.
And we're back to back here. It's taking a little while to load. I do want to point out that this